Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download the Superbook Sports app today and use promo code THEGAME. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow will join us in 1 hour. We'll get his thoughts on the latest around the Titans in the NFL. But allow me to begin today's show by saying, how about them Tigers?
Hey, man, listen. No, excuse me, not man. I'm sorry. I hate when individuals do that and they're talking to a female reporter or doing an interview. And they always say, yeah, man, you know. So I'm thinking like, do you see who you're talking to? It's not a man, okay?
It's okay.
Yeah, but shoot, those – he was hot on the mound, boy.
He was hot.
He was flaming on the mound. LSU was flaming on the mound yesterday. And they got some key hits. They got some errors that worked in their toward their advantage.
Some bad bunts.
Absolutely, some bad bunts. But they took advantage of it.
Thank you.
They closed the deal. And now they move on. But this is a time of year where no matter what sport, I can be watching like women's basketball, and I'm not big into women's basketball. I watch it every so often, especially college. But when it comes to like the tournament,
yeah,
it just gets more exciting.
It's so, because every game means something.
Exactly,
and
absolutely.
The college baseball season is long. It can get boring. You know, Sunday games may mean nothing, but it is fun when it is lose, go home, win in advance. Michelle said when she was walking out earlier, when I was walking in, she was like, you going to take your victory lap? I said, no.
We got some more games.
The work is not done. But we will get into all of that. We will get into a little bit of a wrap up on the Tennessee Vols season. But D-Mace, Willie D, how are we doing today?
I am doing well. I tell you, the big question for LSU, and we'll probably get back to this a little bit later in the show, was how would the pitchers do beyond the superstar ace that they have, Paul Skeens? And man, what a performance last night to shut out a very good, obviously hot Tennessee team that was coming in playing their best baseball. That's the kind of performance you need in the College World Series. But those guys, if you look, the starting pitcher I think had thrown 22 innings the whole year.
His longest stretch throughout the season was against South Carolina in the SEC tournament. He went like 3 1/3 inning. That was his longest outing.
Wow.
And
he went what, six innings?
Six innings last night, almost 100 pitches. Really impressive.
But that's what you need. Now, do they have enough to beat Wake Forest twice? We'll see. But
Skeens on Thursday, if we can get there.
Ooh,
there you go.
That's what we're looking for.
Just piece it together.
Looking for. Yeah.
But it's been. I have found myself. I think I have watched at least a good section, a significant section of maybe all but one of the games. I find myself kind of the afternoon game when we were on the air yesterday. Ended up being a little bit of a snoozer, but these are intense games. It's good baseball. It's something I look forward to every year, College World Series. It's really good stuff.
It is fun stuff. And if college baseball isn't your thing, I get it. That's fine. But Omaha, I think, is going to be intriguing and fun for even, you know, the smallest college baseball fan out there. We will continue to get into Tennessee and their season. Joe Rexroad had an article in The Athletic about Tennessee season. We'll get into all of that. But I want to start here. Because not only is it College World Series time of year, but we are getting into NHL draft season as well. We are just about a week, a little bit less than a week away from the NHL draft, and it's going to be absolutely bonkers in downtown Nashville, and I'm looking forward to it. And so we know that this time of year is when trade talks really start to heat up. It's when trade talks really start to get serious, because if you're trading for picks, you need those picks ahead of the draft. So there's going to be a whole lot of deals coming down the pipe here in the next couple of weeks. And one that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, last couple of months, is do the Predators trade UC Saros? And Greg Wyshynski of ESPN.com writes that he thinks that they possibly will. He says between Saros and Connor Hellebuyck, there could be a big-time goalie carousel with some elite goaltenders on the trade market. Now, before we get into return, before we get into what that might look for the Nashville Predators, just initial thoughts on Greg Wyshynski thinking that UC Saros could be a legitimate trade block contender.
I don't know what you put legitimate. I would put it at 5% or less that they would trade.
Why?
UC Saros. Just nobody. If somebody is going to put forth what it would take to me to consider it, I just don't think anybody's going to do that. I see the Hellebuyck. Mm-hmm. Hellebuck's not going to be with the Jets.
He's not
in a
happy.
Year. He's somewhat not happy maybe with how the season ended, but it's also he's got a year left in his contract. He sees the Jets are probably going to go through a transition. I don't think he's married to the city of Winnipeg. He's an American player, so he's going to be gone in a year. That's very, very different than UC Saros, who's got two years left. I can see why a team would offer more for Saros than they would for Hellebuyck. That's a legit argument for sure. But I think the Predators should, I think Derek will agree with me, they want to keep UC Saros for a long time. So you better bring it to the table. It's not like, hey, I'll throw in a first-round pick and a second-round pick. You got to have an unbelievable package. And most teams right now just don't have that kind of package. So that's why I put it at 5%.
Well, I mean, it's been, said that David Poile, who was the Predators GM up until when? A couple weeks ago.
He's still officially.
Yeah, officially a GM. He is still a GM. And it pretty soon.
Two more days.
A few more days here. But. Because the LA Kings was one of the teams that, that has been floating out there. But, he wanted two first-round picks, and it seems like LA, wasn't going to give that up. So if David was asking for two first-round picks, what would Barry ask for? I think it would be more now that you know the situation. And if you're not willing to give up more, my thing is the prospects know, they got enough picks and got enough, potential prospects. I don't want no prospects. Give me guys that can help today, like guys on that level that can help me win the Stanley Cup. I'm not interested in getting guys that may help me 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the line. That does nothing for the team at this particular moment. I need guys that can come in right now that can, skate up right now and instant points, instant production, because that's what I'm getting out of my goalie. So if I'm giving you my goalie that's getting instant production, that's one of the top 3 or 4 goalies in the league, I don't want prospects back, because what does that do for my team right now? So to me, you better be offering something substantial. If you want to throw in some picks, go ahead, throw them in. But I need a few guys that's going to help me. And I'm not talking about, third-line guys. No, we need some front-line guys, to help me, because I'm giving you a Vezina candidate goalie back in return. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to give me? If you're not giving me something that's going to help me win a Stanley Cup today, then I don't want to talk.
Two first-round picks is not even going to get the phone. I will hang up the phone if you're off me, just two first-round picks.
I'll let you leave a message, and if you say two first-round picks, I'm not returning that message.
Unless it's Chicago's 2023 first-round pick, I
still wouldn't do it. I still don't think I would
do it. Connor
Bedard? Well, Connor Bedard, yeah. I thought you meant 2024. Yeah, I'm assuming that Chicago will not make that phone call.
They're not going to move off that
one. That's what I mean.
They're not
going
to make that phone call.
Unless it is Chicago's first-round pick this year, then I would probably agree with you. Because I don't think this team needs picks.
Well, yeah. Let's put it in perspective, though, for the article. And look, Greg comes on our station a lot, so we can ask him straight up. But I think he would admit that the title of the article is Moves That We Create Chaos. Right? So I don't think these are moves that you're hearing Pierre LeBrun or Elliot Friedman or Darren Drager, or some of the ones that are really listening to the talk, the
right.
real talk. I think this is a purely speculative, hey, isn't it fun to think about kind of idea. But two first-round picks, I put it in football terms. would you trade Justin Herbert for two first-round picks? If you're going to trade a guy like Justin Herbert, a first-round quarterback talent, first-rate quarterback who is a dominant player in his prime, you're not trading him for future picks. Like, you could come up empty on the third pick in the draft. If you look through the history of the NHL draft, you could come up with a player that barely makes the NHL or doesn't even make the NHL. There's way too much uncertainty with, quote, first-round picks. Mm-hmm. You got to have certainty if you're going to trade a guy as good as Saros. Now, Askarov, that's a different deal. He hasn't done it yet in the NHL. He's got a very, very high ceiling. That's a conversation that I think you could have. But I am not... You've got to come to the table with something that would blow me away, and I just don't think the Kings or any team that's looking for a goalie will put that kind of package together. That's just my thought of how it's going to go, because I'm not trading UC Saros. I'm with Derek.
I don't know if I necessarily agree 100% with the Justin Herbert comparison. I think because I look at the Chargers and the Predators, they're in two different places. You know, I think the Chargers are trying to win now. The Chargers are trying to be competitive in a very competitive AFC. The Predators, on the other hand, Barry Trotz has said, hey, be patient with us. If the Predators feel like they can be competitive this year, then great. But I don't know if that's the expectation. And I think, too, the comparison between a goaltender and quarterback, I don't think is equal. Because I look at, you know, the teams that were really competing in the Stanley Cup final. Not every single team had an elite goaltender. But in the NFL, I don't think you can win a Super Bowl without an elite quarterback. And, of course, you can pick out examples in the past. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, and Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. Right. I hear you.
Well, they played lights out. They played lights out in the playoffs.
They played at an elite level. Yeah. But, you know, look at, you know, it's who you feel more confident about winning a Super Bowl. Is it a team with a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow or a team with a Baker Mayfield? You know, give me Patrick Mahomes all day, every day. And I know that's not a, you know, perfect comparison because there are non-elite quarterbacks that do win Super Bowls, but for the most part, I would say it's an elite quarterback that makes you feel better about it. But I hear you. I understand. I would need more than two first-round picks because you got to think about what does this team want to do and what does this team need? This team wants to build for the future. This team's got a whole heck of a lot of picks. I mean, they've got more picks than they probably know what to do with. What they do need is elite forwards, an elite center, more specifically. So, per Greg Wyshynski's article, what could the potential return be for UC Saros if the Predators would have entertained that trade?
The people he lists here...
Well, let's get into that coming up next.
Okay.
Let's get into that coming up next because I feel like we might be on the same page, Willie. Mm-hmm. We'll get your thoughts on that as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
How do you kind of envision the timeline of where the team is working through the goalie scenario that you find yourself in?
Well, I think with Askarov, what you saw, he's considered the top prospect in the American Hockey League. You know, he's had a really strong year. He's had a good, strong playoffs, and then he hit a little bump. He's never played this much. He hit a little bump last couple games here. So, you know, I see him starting in Milwaukee again next year. That was the reason to get Lanx signed up, to give him more experience. And then at some point there'll be a switch. And I think it's important that Askey has some times with a guy like Saros or Lanky, who are both really good professional players. And then well, you know, when we get to with Saros, when he gets to his contract year where we can extend him, we'll look to do that and see what their ask is, and then we'll have to see where we go from there.
That was Barry Trotz on with Stillman & Company at the beginning of this month, on the day that Andrew Brunette was introduced as the Predators' new head coach. And Barry Trotz said, hey, we are open to anything, even trading the goaltenders. And I think that's how Barry Trotz should approach his new role as GM. It doesn't mean that any of the goaltenders are going to be traded. It just means, hey, anything is on the table. And I think at this point, anything should be on the table.
I'll tell you what shouldn't be on the table is Wyshynski's proposed trade with the Kings.
And I think that we are on the same page with that, Willie. Because Greg Wyshynski on ESPN.com has an article with some potential moves that could happen around NHL draft time, off-season dominoes, moves that could create chaos. And the Predators trading UC Saros is on that list of moves that could create chaos. And I think it's kind of an obvious trade partner in the LA Kings, a team that's really good that needs some support with goaltending. But the two potential trades in return, if the Predators were to make a trade with the Kings for UC Saros, the two proposed trades that Greg Wyshynski has in this article, one is a 21-year-old Arthur Kaliev. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
Okay, Arthur Kaliev. I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. And 3 years so far in the league. His best season, 2021-2022, 14 goals, 27 points in 80 games. I need more than that for Saros.
Well, he proposed not only Kaliev, who was a second-round pick, mm-hmm. who is only 21. He also would put in there, in the proposed trade, Gabe Vilardi, who is a centerman and a very talented one, the 11th pick in the draft. I mean, these are good players. Yeah. These are good players. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But these aren't – I need elite back four elite. We're talking about one of the top five goalies in the game, in the world. The only thing that UC Saros hasn't done is have playoff success. And there are circumstances for that. He hasn't been the starting goaltender that long. He was injured in 1 year where he would have been the starting goaltender and a chance. So he's only played in a couple of series. So that's part of why I come up with Justin Herbert, right? Justin Herbert hasn't played in a lot of postseason games, but he's had dominating regular season kind of numbers. So I'm just looking at, when I make the quarterback comparison, I'm saying a first-rate quarterback in his prime. This is a first-rate NHL goalie mm-hmm. in his prime. Arguably, Saros is even better. I think he's top five. I don't know if Herbert's top five in y'all's mind. But
no.
I need stars back. I don't want guys who are developing. Like if it doesn't start with the Kings, with Quentin Byfield, to me, that's a guy that has such a big ceiling that you'd have to pause and say, Now, that's worth thinking about, because that's the potential number one play-driving center that is very, very coveted by Barry Trotz, for right. sure. But it reminds me of fantasy leagues I've been in where a guy will offer you two or three spare parts mm-hmm. for your best player, and you say, okay, these guys aren't bad players, but are you kidding me? I'm not trading you my best player right. for these two or three scraps that you don't need. Like, you got to trade me something that you need.
Exactly.
If I'm going to even consider it.
Yeah, I'm not trading you Jamar Chase for Josh
Reynolds. Right, right. These are guys that, because the Kings have rebuilt for about 5 years, they've built up a lot of assets. And yeah. these guys are two good players. But they are clearly players that the Kings are willing to part with to get the superstar that they need. So my answer is, I'll talk to you later.
They're trying to pull a fast one on you.
yeah.
Trying to pull a fast
yeah.
one.
So the puck daddy, Wyshynski, who I love, he is great at what he does. But again, I think he's just spitballing ideas here. This is not something that has really been discussed.
Right. And Greg Wyshynski's not a general manager.
Right.
Like, he's not
right.
saying that the Predators
right.
so should make that
I'm just
move.
Giving you my thought on that. I'm not. Now, Askarov for a combination of some of those guys, that's worth talking about for sure.
Well, it's when you. When you see things like that from a Wyshynski, a guy that is really good at his job, that does the due diligence, that talks to a lot of people, when you see something like that, a package like that, you know there's not really anything out there at this particular time. So you're trying to pull names of individuals that you can package that could possibly get you a trade, with UC Saros, because he know if he goes like above that or, one more than one elite player, more than likely that's not going to happen. Or there's not a team that's willing to give an elite player or two for a goalie. Right now it's just, okay, what if they did this and this guy and this guy put this package together. These are good, okay guys. Throw in some, some draft picks. Maybe that'll work. Well, that's nothing that's not anything that's going to happen, you know, truly. Like, truly is going to happen. You just throwing things together and saying, well, this could happen or it might happen. But in reality, the package you threw together, you know damn well that if you approach the Nashville Predators with that package, they're going to hang up the phone on you. And the only reason you presented that package is because there's no other package to present at this time, mm-hmm. you know, for a goalie. Because right. it's hard because, like y'all said, teams have won without having an elite goalie. They've won the Stanley Cup without having an elite goalie. So that trade is a difficult trade to make because on one hand, if I'm the guy that wants the goalie, I could say, well, you know, I'm only giving up this because in the past, teams have won without a superior goalie, which UC Soros is.
Right.
But on the other hand, you know, the Predators will be looking at it as you're getting, you know, one of the best goalies in the National Hockey League. So we should be compensated, you know, handsomely for it. But the other team is thinking like, no, not really, because we don't. It's sort of like the running back, you know, in a sense. It's like having a good running back is great, but we don't need a good running back, a great running back.
That's another interesting comparison. And it's not, it's like you say, Caroline, when I throw the quarterback thing, it's not apples to apples, right? These are different sports. But I look at a dominant goalie is close to what a dominant quarterback is. Nobody changes the game more often than a dominant goalie in the regular season and the postseason. Yeah, do you have to have him? No. But it sure does help. Like the Predators, people would say this, well, they'd be a really bad team if they didn't have UC Soros. Yeah, but they have
exactly.
UC Soros.
Mm-hmm.
They had more points than the Florida Panthers. They had more points than the Florida Panthers. And it was because of UC Soros. Mm-hmm. He elevates. A great goalie elevates your team. Like a great quarterback can mask a lot of issues on your team. The really good wingers, mm-hmm. I think, are a little bit like the dominating running backs. Not that they grow on trees, right? But you can find wingers that can score 20, 25, 30 goals a lot easier than you can find the dominant goalie. So if you're offering me a couple of wingers who have some talent, the Predators have several of those in the pipeline, and they've got a couple established ones that if they have their act together are pretty good. So I'm not looking for that. I need the game changer. Who are the game changers? Who are the guys that are hard to find? Goalies, number one centers, dominant defensemen. You know, those are the guys that, to me, you got to come to the table with something like that. If I'm going to trade you my best, most established player, now Askarov is a totally different discussion, right. But not Soros.
And I think that's why this is as much of a conversation as it is because if the Predators had no goaltending prospects that weren't even ready to get called up to the NHL, then I would say, well, then no, yeah, that's not a move that you're going to make. But I think it's, one, the position that the Predators are in, the fact that both Barry Trotz and Andy Brunette have said, hey, be patient with us, which I think is coach and GM speak for, we don't really know how good we're going to be right now, but we really have a good plan and a vision for a bright future. So that's one thing. And I think the second thing is the fact that you do have Askarov coming down the pipe. And the fact that Askarov could be, and I'm not saying for certain, I'm not an Askarov whiz, but he could be ready by the time that the Predators have built up enough prospects and capital to be ready to contend for a Stanley Cup. And I think the third thing being, and this is a conversation because not only do you have Askarov coming down the pipe, but UC Soros could be your ticket to finding that elite center of the future. Because it's not easy to find. If it was easy to find, everybody would have one. So if that is your ticket to finding that elite offensive player, then I would be open to it. But it's not a move that you're going to make just because you're saying, well, you know, we'll get a couple pieces back. We'll get a couple guys that we think can help our offense. No, 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 no. If you think that guy is your elite center of the future, that piece that this franchise has been missing for a very long time, then I would say you got to seriously think about it. But there was something that Elliot Friedman said when he was on with Chase Michelle earlier today that I thought was interesting and could potentially change our perspective about the likelihood of a Predators trade. And we'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie-DeMace is brought to you by the new Zen Sports Sportsbook. With cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible, betting just got better. Download the Zen Sports Sportsbook app today. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063, the game. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063, the game and the game Nashville app. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow, will join us in 30 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on all the goings-on with the Tennessee Titans. But we're now addressing an article on ESPN.com put out there by Greg Wyshynski. Love Greg. Friend of the station. The headline is NHL offseason dominoes, moves that could create chaos. And one of those moves that could create chaos that Greg Wyshynski cites is Ussi Saros being traded potentially to the LA Kings. Discussing a potential trade, what would that look like for the Nashville Predators? What would we need in return in order to feel confident about trading Ussi Saros? But I heard something when Elliot Friedman was on with Chase and Michelle earlier today about some of the behind the scenes, the inside baseball of what went on when those discussions were happening before the trade deadline. The David Poile conversations with other GMs across the league about a potential trade for Ussi Saros. And what Elliot Friedman said, some of the minutiae of what happened with those conversations, made me kind of change my perspective a little bit of how serious the Predators really could be in the Saros trade sweepstakes. This was Elliot Friedman.
One of the biggest questions is, could they make a big swing in trading, you know, Ussi Saros? There were some rumors earlier this year that they were in some talks. Is there any update you have on that or anything you've heard? And also, a little two-parter here, what do you think would be a fair return for a guy like Ussi Saros?
Well, I really believe that Saros' calls were initiated by other teams and not by you. I think there were teams that called you. Like, when you look at the way that Nashville did things around the deadline, it was very clear that you were unafraid and you were willing to take bold swings. And when you're doing that, teams call you because they're not doing their job if they don't. They're like, wow, we just saw what you did with Tanner Janot or name one of the other trades you made. What else are you thinking? Like, what else could you do here? And, you know, I think it was a situation where, you know, like teams like the Kings that were looking for goaltending, they called you and they said, would you do Saros? And if so, what would it cost us? So I think there are teams who asked, and I think now there's a lot of goaltenders on the market.
Again, that was Elliot Friedman on with Chase and Michelle earlier today. And the point that really stuck out to me, that made my head kind of whip up a little bit, is when Elliot Friedman said other GMs were calling David Poile about Saros. David Poile wasn't calling other GMs about Saros. This was not something that was initiated within the Predators organization. Does that at all change your perspective on the Saros trade talk?
Yeah, I think it does. Because if I'm not at, if I am the GM of the guy that, you know, is a part of this sort of rumor, trade rumor, or possible trade, if I'm the GM and I'm not making the calls, then, you know, what? I'm not too interested in parting ways from my player. I'm not. People are going to, you know, other GMs are going to call, no matter in whatever sport. They're just going to call and see what you're thinking. See if they can get you to listen to, you know, what they could potentially offer you for your, you know, your dominant player. So yeah, I'm going to, out of common courtesy and respect, I'm going to take the call. But again, if it's nothing, if it's not a conversation that is going to just like where I can't put the phone down, then it's like, okay, I hear you. Thanks for calling. Mm-hmm. But no thanks. And hang up the phone. So if I'm not the one that's initiating this, all this stuff that's going on, then the likelihood of it happening is very slim. Unless, again, like y'all said, unless they offer something that you just can't refuse, or you have, it's hard for you to refuse, then okay. But other than that, I'm not the one that's reaching out to everybody trying to, you know, facilitate a trade. I like my guy. He's one of the best goalies in the league. Why do I want to get rid of him? You know, if y'all call me, that's fine. But I'm not calling y'all, so I'm not going to be too worried about this. I think this is a part of what happens this time of year. Teams are trying to fill other teams out, especially teams that were in the Nashville Predators situation where they had made these trades right before the trade deadline. So people thought, okay, this team is – they're giving up. You know, they seems like they are planning for the future. But lo and behold, this team gets on a heater with these young guys, and they play fairly well. So it goes from, you know, in a lot of people's minds, it goes from this team setting up for the future, and I'm talking about the future 2, 3, 4 years down the line, to, oh, man, they may have something, you know. Why would they want to trade their goalie? So I think things like this just happens during this time of year or right before the trade deadline or right after it. And then once you get through the draft, I think things start to simmer down a little bit. And I believe this will be one of those situations where after the draft, it's going to go away.
Yeah, I would, again, I'm putting it at 5%, and I think I'm being generous with the 5% that Saros has traded this offseason. And I think the mode that Elliot is saying is still the mode. I don't think they're going to be calling around saying, hey, would you take Saros for XYZ? I don't think they're going to do that. I think teams might call them. You can't control that. Mm-hmm. But unless you're bringing it to the table, which I don't think anybody will approach what it would take, in my mind, to really consider it. Now, the one thing that I think is worth mentioning, it's been reported, and it's been several sources, so I think we can reasonably say it definitely happened. There were some conversations between the Kings and the Predators, initiated by the Kings before they did trade for a goalie. They were in a bad position. They had a really good team, but they had really no goalies that they felt like they could win with in the playoffs. They ended up with Jonas Korpisalo, who's a good goalie. He's nowhere close to the stratosphere that UC Saros is, but the price was going to be too high. But I do wonder if there was any groundwork laid for, hey, okay, you know, if you added XY to what you're offering, then maybe we could talk. You know, I don't know how far it got just in theoretical conversations, but those conversations happen all the time. But obviously it didn't ever come close to what the Predators would want. So I doubt that would change. The Kings have some cap issues right now. They want a goalie. They're going to find a way to get a goalie, but they're going to have to be creative in how they do it. They're going to have to trade some money back. So I'm curious to see where that goes. And they're by no means the only team that's looking for a goalie. Also, remember this. Connor Hellebuck is a different situation.
Totally.
The Jets know he's going to be gone in a year if they don't trade him. He's basically expressed publicly, don't want to go through a rebuild. So he sent the signal, I'm not re-signing with the Jets. So that's going to affect big time what teams will offer the Jets. The Jets have to take what they can get.
When they have no leverage.
They don't have the leverage.
Whatever you can get.
The Predators have no problem re-signing UC Saros down the road. The cap is going to go up. The Predators, despite a couple of contracts that aren't the best contracts, they rid themselves of a couple of those during the trade deadline. They're a very healthy cap team right now. They have the 10th most salary cap space of any team in the league. And it's not like they have Philip Forsberg to sign that's going to eat up that. The only guys they're going to re-sign are Glass and Carrier, which are going to be relatively inexpensive moves. So they have huge cap flexibility. They've got a ton of draft picks. There's nothing that keeps them from signing UC Saros to the next contract, and they don't have to do that for 2 more years. So most times players of Saros' caliber get traded because the team that has them knows that he's not going to stay with them. That's not the case with Saros. So to me, that's even more reason why you just sit back and you wait. Now, 5% this year could turn into a higher percentage next year after you see what Saros does, you see what the team does. He's a year away from free agency, and you see what Askarov does for a year, right? That's a different conversation totally. In a year from now. But right now, 5% is the highest that will go of any possibility that they would trade Saros.
The Predators are in a good situation with UC Saros because they're not desperate. Mm-hmm. UC Saros isn't desperate to get out. The Predators aren't desperate to trade him. The Predators have the luxury of sitting back and saying, how bad do you want him? How desperate are you for UC Saros? Because we're not itching to get rid of him. So we can up the price. And you know that we're not itching to get rid of him. So you know that you can't lowball us. Connor Hellebuck, on the other hand, there may be a team that's looking at it like, hey, we'll give you a first round pick, but that's really all we're going to do. That's the best that we can do because we know that you need to get rid of him. We know that you've got to take just the best deal that comes your way. The Predators don't have to take any deal that comes their way. They have the privilege of saying we have the privilege of taking whatever offer that we want. We don't have to give anything up. So I do think that puts them in a really good situation. Quick text here. Phone lines are from WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jules Texan says, do you trade straight up for Byfield for Saros?
I would not.
Byfield.
I would not. Now, Byfield is a really intriguing guy. I think he was the second pick in the draft. He's only 20. Mm-hmm. He's got sky's the limit kind of potential. Remember, we asked Elliot about him last week because... Right. The Kings have been rumored about Pierre-Luc Dubois. He's a little bit older. He's more established. He's 24. Because I was asking, you know, do you think Barry Trotz would get into the sweepstakes for that? That's another player for the Jets that says, I'm out of here. I'm not staying here after next year. They've got him for one more year, so they basically have to trade him if they want to get anything for him. And they should get a lot for him because he's 24 and he's a legit number one center. Byfield is 20. He hasn't had the breakout year. That's the only thing. That's what Elliott said, too. If you look at his stats, he had some good games. He's flashed brilliance a couple times against the Predators. But he hasn't put together the long stretch of dominating play that you would hope he eventually gets to. So I would need more than Byfield for Saros, for sure. But Jules is right to bring up his name because that's a guy that could potentially – move the needle, but he hasn't done it yet. So I gotta have certainty. I can't have maybe and maybe if this guy breaks. I need certainty. UC Saros is one of the five best goalies in the game.
You're getting certainty with UC Saros. I want certainty back.
Yeah,
that's kind of the tough thing too. Is the Predators aren't looking for 32-year-old centers. They're looking for young pieces that they can build the team around. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for certainty and youth, I don't really know where else you're going to get that other than Connor Bedard. Or any other players that teams around the NHL aren't willing to trade. But there are two names that have been thrown around, kind of been in conversation with potential trades for the Nashville Predators. Trades that the Nashville Predators would acquire rather than trade away. We will get into those two names, their fits, and we'll get into those coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. Jonathan Hutton in 15 minutes. Caroline Ville-DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game. The 2022-23 season is behind us. What can Predators fans look forward to in these next couple of weeks ahead of the NHL draft?
Well, I think you're going to start hearing a lot of conversations picking up. I do think there's a lot of talk out there. I would think by now a lot of other teams, know what the Predators are kind of thinking about. You know, they're calling around. For one thing, like Barry's a new GM. So there's going to be a lot of people calling him, just saying, they'll be offering their congratulations and then the Sharks will be swimming in the water. What do you want to do? What are you thinking about? What's going on with your roster? And that's kind of going on everywhere now. Like the one thing about this is that the business starts quick. So 24 hours after this or 48 hours after the Stanley Cup is awarded, the teams have to decide if they're going to take any players to arbitration. So that deadline is this afternoon. And, it's going to be busy. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. And I think when we get into Nashville for the draft, there's going to be some people trying to do some big things. Whether or not they get it done is another thing. But I think they're going to be trying.
Elliot Friedman on our show last week. What we've got to look forward to over the next couple of weeks. The NHL draft is in town next week. We'll be reporting live from Bridgestone Arena all next week. We've also got arbitration. We've got free agency. We've got a lot coming down the pipe in the NHL. But there are two names that we have talked about a lot. Two names that we've discussed with Elliot Friedman, and I'm sure we will continue to discuss with him tomorrow. It's Alex DeBrincat and Pierre-Luc Dubois, two potential trades that the Predators could make in this offseason. Let's look at Alex DeBrincat first, because there's an article put out on The Athletic of teams that could potentially be interested in Alex DeBrincat. The first, the Detroit Red Wings. The second, the Nashville Predators. This article says it's about to be a new era in Nashville with Barry Trotz officially taking over as general manager in a few days. Already the message is clear from Trotz, the Predators need to boost their offense. I mean, that was one of my biggest takeaways from both Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette's introductory press conference. We want to be faster. We want to have the puck. When we have the puck, we want to keep the puck. When we don't have the puck, we want to get the cup. Puck and the cup.
The puck, get the puck, score the goal, get the cup.
And then the cup. It's that easy. I mean, I should be a hockey coach. It's that easy. Alex DeBrincat, I think, is an interesting one because Nashville is reportedly on his short list. Offensive firepower is something that Nashville needs. Be interested in the Alex DeBrincat sweepstakes.
I think because he's interested, you have to try to take a look and see what that would look like.
Your due diligence.
Now, here's the thing about DeBrincat. Or if you're in Chicago, you would say, DeBrincat. That's it. Chris Mason and Hal Gill, they never let it go by an opportunity to say that.
Goobers.
They love the super fans. Just Google SNL if you're Chicago super fans, if you've never heard that bit before. But he's young. He's 25 years old, and he has already had a 41-goal season in 2022, a 41-goal season in 2019 when he was 21 years old. So he's already had two 40-plus goal seasons at his age. He makes $6.4 million a year for one more year. He's basically told the Senators not re-signing. Mm-hmm. So it's the hellebuck. You might be able to get him for a little discount just because they have to deal him. They have to get something. He's a winger, right?
That's a caveat.
He's not the number one center, but he is a guy that can fly, and he's a power play monster, which is, does that maybe...
Sounds like something the Predators Predators
fans
use to help
go,
with.
Power play monster? Oh, let me hear more. Let me hear more. He's a guy that's fast. What do the Predators want to say? Hey,
we want to be faster.
Now, he wants a long-term deal, so if you are trading for him, you're probably going to sort of feel it out, say, okay, Alex, do you like Nashville? Would you consider signing a long-term deal? If the answer is yes, then we're talking probably another one of those eight-year deals. I know how some people feel about those, like eight-year deals. Like, just ask Adam Vingan one time about the eight-year deal. He will tell you gloom and doom. Don't do that. Don't do it.
But it would also be technically the second or third sign and trade if the Preds want to go that route too, Willie.
What do you mean by sign and trade?
So obviously he's going to arbitration more than likely if he's not traded. So that's something to think about there is if he does not get traded, then he's going that route and then he's a UFA 1 or 2 years away.
Right, right.
But if you trade him, that's something to think about too, you know, because you want to make sure you agree in principle to a deal.
Right, so that's a good point. He is unsigned for next year. He's a restricted free agent. So the qualifying offer, just to give him the 10% raise, he's already going to be really expensive. So he's going to want a raise on top of that. He didn't have a great year last year. He only 27 goals last year.
I'd take 27 goals. I mean,
for an off year, 27 goals, not bad.
That.
Not bad. And it was not a great year for Ottawa, but Ottawa wants to win. So here's my thinking. Now, this could be a hang up the phone for them, but you just never know. Ottawa wants to win. They don't want it. They wanted to sign Alex DeBrincat. They have salary cap space, they have the young nucleus that they have been painstakingly building for several years. They don't have a lot of draft picks. They traded their first round pick this year to get Jacob Chychrun. So would they take a package of draft picks, which the Predators have, and would they take a big contract like a Matt Duchene to add a veteran to their young group of players that they have? That would be something that would, to me, be the home run.
I mean, that's a double whammy right there. You're taking care of two of your needs.
Yeah, because if you trade for only prospects, picks, whatever, first of all, Ottawa is going to be, we got the prospects. You know, we got the young players. We want to win.
We want to win right now.
But they got to take what the best offer is. So that would be intriguing if you dangled somebody like that towards like, okay, I know I've got the guy for three more years, and that's a veteran to add to my young mix. I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas out there, because otherwise, if you bring in DeBrinket and you already have Forsberg, you already have Duchene, you've got these young guys that you're like Evangelista, that you're trying to move in, Tomasino, you're trying to see what you got in those guys. DeBrinket would be, you'd love to add a guy like that.
Right.
So I don't know. It could work either way, but the home run would be, if I'm going to sign DeBrinket to one of these big contracts, could I get rid of a big contract in the process? Or maybe I retain part of it? I don't know. These are all things that go through my mind. But it's not perfect in that he's a winger and not a center. The other part that I would be a little hesitant, he has not played for a great team, right? He's done all these great numbers, but it's been on teams that haven't really won.
And I think with both DeBrinket and Pierre-Luc Dubois, on the surface, it feels like home runs, right? But I think that each have their own caveats. DeBrinket would want to be here. I don't know if Pierre-Luc Dubois wants to be here.
Yeah, now he's the center.
He wants to go home.
He's the center.
He's the center.
But that's
the caveat with DeBrinket is that he is not.
Yep, and does Pierre-Luc Dubois want to be here? To me, if you have to feel that out of the front, you got to talk to his agent back channels and say, look, if we get in these sweepstakes, is he willing to sign here long term? Because right. If he's not, then we'll just move on.
Well, like Nick said, wouldn't it more than likely be a sign and trade if you were to get him? But then who do you trade? Obviously, it would be Yusi, but then who else would you trade? Because you would have to get rid of a contract.
It could be picks.
Other than Yusi's.
And it depends, because the Senators need picks.
Uh-huh.
So that could be one avenue that would be more interesting to them, is trading away the picks, where you wouldn't have to trade away Yusi Saros. But I do think that if you would make that trade, I mean, from what it's been reported, Pierre-Luc Dubois wants to go to Montreal. He wants to go home.
That's the one.
But DeBrinket would want to be here. But DeBrinket doesn't play the position of need that Pierre-Luc Dubois does.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So it's.
But this is he's in his prime. It's not like he's 30, 31.
Right. They're both early 20s,
so
early
mid-20s. You figure he's got the prime left, and he's had two 40-goal seasons already. If you want to play fast, then that's.
He's going to help you play
fast.
And the caveat there, too, is with both of them, like Elliot Friedman was on with Jason Michelle earlier today. He said that Pierre-Luc Dubois wants an 8x9. He's looking for 8 years, around $9 million.
Right.
That's steep.
That's steep.
I don't know if I would have interest in that.
If it's a number one center, and remember, Dubois is only 24.
Right.
So you have to feel like you'd be getting the prime years of his career. These are the things that on the surface I'm intrigued, but then you got to get into your scouts. Mm-hmm. That's when you start saying, okay, what's this guy's mindset? Is he a leader? Is he gonna help elevate the other players around him? What's he gonna be like in our culture? You know, these are the things that to me are the key questions when you're trying to build a winning team. Because the beauty of it for the Predators is they have the ammo, they have the tools, the assets to make deals like this, or at least get in the hunt for deals like this. They have the cap space. Mm-hmm. They have the picks. They have good prospects coming through the system. So I think they have the ability to have these talks for any of these players that we're talking about. That's exciting.
It is exciting, and it'll be fun to see over the next week or so before the NHL draft. We'll take a quick Predators breather coming up next. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike and Hutton with Hutton and Withrow will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the latest on the DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes, the latest on what we've heard from the Tennessee Titans. That coming up with Jonathan Hutton. Coming up next, Caroline Whitley DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.